Welcome back to North Shore Today. We're joined by Dave Rattigan from Scamps Comedy. Bill Newell, Rick Moore here. And Dave, you got a huge comedy show coming up this Saturday night at the Cabot Theater, the refurbished Cabot Theater. And in fact, here we are, Rick and myself and you, we're in the Cabot Theater as we speak.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And hopefully it'll be a huge show. We'll see. It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a good show. I'll plug it first and then we'll talk.
Yeah, why don't you, so you got some comedians coming in, and so maybe tell us who some of those comedians might be, Dave.
There are three of them that headline. There are four comedians total. Three of them headline around the Boston area. Two of them have done national television. One of them just did a movie, he did the Larry Sanders movie that was shot around, Larry David movie that was shot around the North Shore. That's Chris Zito, who was on the Morning Zoo. We were back when they had Morning Zoos. He was on that in Boston. Very funny guy. Chris Zito, Dan Bulger, who's done Late Late Show with Greg Ferguson a few times and done Comedy Central, and Ira Proctor, who was incredibly funny, and I know he did an interview with you guys previously.
Yeah.
So you know how funny he is, and he's had some sniffs from Comedy Central and everything else, so he's the guy. And Dave Decker, who's also very, very good. So it's a great show, and one of the things that we've done the big thing about this show from my standpoint is this will be people's first chance to come to see a comedy show here since the renovation of the indoors, of the interior, which is, if you haven't been to the Cabot, as you guys can see because we're here, fantastic. The lower section has been reconfigured. They've got new seats, which was the biggest real negative about the Cabot that I heard. And it really is nice in here. I think it's going to be really nice to hopefully have a big crowd come out here to see the comedy and experience the new seats.
All right, so you got new seats here. Now, if people are interested in getting tickets, what's the best way for them to do that? Other than maybe hit me up when because you're going to be giving me all these free tickets. No, yeah. I'm just kidding you.
That's a great idea. No, www. That's how you can tell how old you are. You say www.thecabot.org.
Is that some kind of a website, Dave? Is that what that
it's
is?
It's a website where you can go and actually buy tickets. It's a website on the interweb. It's thecabot.org, and you basically go and you hit some buttons, and the next thing you know, boom, you get tickets.
Yeah,
just that easy. The tickets are $22 if you use your credit card, but if you steal someone's identity, they're free. So.
Not recommended, by the way. You've done a show here already at the Cabot.
Yeah, we've done a couple. We did it as, let's put it this way. My company, I've done two shows. I've actually done three. I did a fundraiser here. My company has done a bunch, and we did the very first big crowd here. Back when they opened it at the end of 2014, the new group came in. They purchased it. They became a nonprofit, and they decided they wanted to be open as they planned all these renovations. They wanted to get it open, get it breathing, so to speak, and get something in here. And they had done a couple of events before us, and I talked to Paul Van Ness, who was on the board and was the executive director at the time, and Paul and I talked about doing a comedy show. So we did a New Year's Eve comedy show in 2014, December 31st, and it was a huge success, the first really big turnout event they had here at the Cabot. We had 475. Then we did a few shows during the year. We did pretty well. And then last New Year's Eve, about 6 to 7 weeks ago, we did it New Year's Eve, and it was fantastic. 666 people, which is not your favorite number, favorite number. Well, not some people's favorite number, but okay. not ours, not either of the, not you or I, probably Bill's. But
I seem to like it. Yeah. It's easy to remember, yeah. Right?
It is easy to remember. And there were a lot of people here, and it was a lot of fun. So this is
the other thing we're talking about, Dave, in the pregame, though, is in our pregame warm-up, is after the program, whether it's an afternoon show or an evening show, there is stuff to do in the immediate area. Go out and have a cup of coffee or drink or whatever.
That's, I think, if you talk about the creative economy, which is to get into things get into things that people talk about if they're newspaper reporters or radio guys, the creative economy. This is the center of it for this city. Obviously, we've also got the Larkham. So in Beverly, you've got two drivers that are getting people into the downtown at night. And you've got it going on in Rockport with the Shaylin Lou, which is a brand new, it's not brand new anymore, but it's a new building. And then you've got these rehab buildings or just old buildings that just get repurposed, like the Larkham, which is a beautiful theater down the street here in Beverly. And Lynn City Hall Auditorium is fantastic. And all four of those buildings and many, many others across the state, you see this trend of these suburban theaters in the downtown that are acting like magnets to bring people in. They come in here, they stay for a drink, maybe they come in early, they have dinner, and maybe they come back, and they breathe a little life into the downtown.
That's your journalism background speaking now. How did you get involved in stand-up comedy, Dave? What's your background in that?
I just got divorced.
And that was funny.
Let's put it this way. I got divorced, and I thought, maybe I'll do stand-up, and that will be better than some of the other things I could do at this stage of my life. I'd always wanted to do it. And oddly enough, that's one of the times that people become stand-up comedians is turning 30, getting out of college, turning 30, turning 40, and divorce. You know, periods of transition mm-hmm. in life. These are when people figure, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I want to try it. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I was pretty good right out of the gate. So I kept doing it. And then, of course, it's been nothing but 20 years of misery ever since. So,
have you made some interesting and lasting friendships along the way with others that you've met in this line of work?
Well, John Stamos walked into my dressing room, which is the most interesting and significant thing that anybody cares about from my career. And the only thing that's interesting about that, John Stamos. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, the story just kind of dissipates. But that's all that anybody cares about when I talk about my career.
Not me. I'm interested in seeing if you've met people who've had similar experience or people that come from other backgrounds, other professions or things like that that you've stayed in touch with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
I think there have been a lot of people that I've made. There were a lot of friendships I've made and a lot of interesting people that I met. You know, stand-up is one of those careers in Boston, not everywhere, mm-hmm. but in Boston and maybe in upstate New York, I've been told. Stand-up is a place where you can be something else and be a comedian at night or a comedian on the side or a second career as a comedian. You don't have to travel all over the country to make a living. And so you get people who are lawyers. You get people who are occasionally you get a doctor. I've had a couple of neuroscientists. In fact, I have a friend who's. He's Chinese. Name's Joe Wong.
Well, right away, that sounds funny, Dave.
China's having a comedy revolution. According to the Wall Street Journal, Joe Wong is at the center of it. Joe Wong was here. He had some success. He went on Letterman before. He went on Letterman a couple of years ago. He went on Letterman again. He went on Ellen. Ray Romano's manager started to manage him. He had a deal. He had things going on. And then he winds up somehow over in China. China is having a comedy boom like the United States had back in the 80s, 90s, and except much more dramatic, I guess. And, you know, almost like they're writing about it culturally like, you know, the Chinese are learning how to laugh and they're learning what comedy is. And he's at the center of it. So
they have a little red light that goes on at the right moment when to laugh, right? Instead of an applause sign, they have a laugh sign.
That I don't know. But it's funny because the Journal's done two stories about him. And the first story was, the Chinese really don't know what to make of Joe Wong. And then the second was comedy explosion. So a fascinating experience for him. And, but I've met other people who've been interesting because it's the kind of thing that there are no barriers to entry. And there are a lot of people who start out. They start out at open mic level, yeah. And maybe they're a really good teacher, or maybe they're a really good police detective, and they might not be a very good comedian, but they're interesting people to meet.
So, do you rehearse? I mean, how does this work for you?
Combination. I used to do a lot more straight out rehearsal, standing there and going through my act. Now it's much more. I'll write something. I'll go to an open mic. I'll try it there. You drop it into conversation. If you have a line that you think is funny, you drop it into conversation. But more or less, you go to an open mic, you do a couple of older bits to get the crowd on your side, then you drop in the newer bits, then you finish off with a couple of older bits to redeem yourself sometimes. And you just kind of go back, and it's very scientific. You know, you try it out. Did it work? I'll try it again. If it doesn't work, you might try it 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times, but... Mm-hmm. Whatever your number is, at some point you decide, okay, that's a keeper. I'm going to keep it in. I'm going to build from it. Or, you know, we'll have to come back to this one later on.
When you work with other guys on the stage or other people on the stage, male, female, whatever it is, do you play off that, or you stick strictly with who you are? With your experience now, are you able to feel out the audience, the chemistry, that kind of thing, and maybe change up a little bit?
You can change up a little bit, but not a ton. And when you work with other guys, you have to do it in a way that's respectful, because you don't want to mistakenly do a joke that steps on one of their jokes, or insult them, or you know, accidentally. And people accidentally insult comedians all the time. It's you know, the whole thing. The comedian thing that's typical.
If I've done that, Dave, I'm sorry about doing that.
You've done it so many times to me.
Gotta be thick-skinned.
Yeah, I just don't know why somebody brings a bag of old fruit to a comedy show, Bill, but it's not appropriate.
I happened to be shopping that day at the used hand-me-down fruit store.
And that
was it.
The metal detectors don't work on those.
Yeah.
All right.
The old farmer's market, yeah. You still shouldn't throw stuff.
The antique farmer's market.
I don't want to sound like your kindergarten teacher, Bill, but you shouldn't have been throwing stuff indoors.
All right. I'll accept that. Hey, I remember. So how long have you been doing this now?
About 20 years, yeah.
So I remember going with my wife to see you probably 20 years ago, I'm sure, okay? So now I remember a joke. Now, and it's funny, this joke, of all your jokes, this one, I just remember this joke. And maybe... I'm springing this on you, but maybe I can hold the microphone away. I'll give you a hint, and maybe you can tell that one. Because if I give the punchline, you know, then I think it's stupid. You know, it doesn't work.
Thing.
But
here's the thing. No,
can you remember those jokes?
Just so you know, Rick, no matter what joke he says,
uh-huh.
I'll be thinking, if I know it, I'm going to be like, I can't believe I still do that joke 20 years later.
Right.
So it's going to be humiliating no matter what. So what are you saying? You do the punch and I...
I'm going to pull this microphone away so you can't hear me, but it's a phone. You're on the phone talking to a girl.
Oh.
Okay? And the punchline is something...
I know the punchline. Yeah, I know the setup.
Do you?
Want me to do the whole thing?
Let's do it.
I met a girl. This is a true story. I met a woman. I was, I met a girl. I got her number. I called her up. And we're talking on the phone, and she tells me she's we made the date, all right, which is, of course, when I should have hung up. But I didn't. I continued to talk. Mm-hmm. And she tells me she's divorced, and she just broke up with her boyfriend. And she's like, yeah, I'm a magnet for losers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, what time should I pick you up?
I don't know. That one just sticks with me. You know, I don't know. You know, so there you go.
I've got a better one. I've got one. I'll tell you off. No, it's not a joke. So I'll tell you afterwards.
Maybe we'll put you
I got a better story.
All right. Oh,
late addition to the show on Saturday night. Well, Rick Moore.
Yeah. Well, if it's a good enough story, I'll steal it. I'll use it on stage. It happened to me.
I want you to use it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll let's just come full circle here and put on one more plug in for the show Saturday night. Here at the Cabot.
At the Cabot, Cabot Performing Arts Center, formerly the Cabot Cinema, 286 Cabot Street, Beverly, Massachusetts, birthplace of the American Navy. Great show. Comedy at the Cabot with Ira Proctor.
From Marblehead.
and the actual one is Philadelphia. But we won't discuss that because we're in Beverly now, so we're going to go with the Beverly thing. Anyway, where were we? Oh, the four comics. Dave Decker, Dan Bulger, Ira Proctor, Chris Zito. Starts at 8 o'clock. And tickets are available at thecabot.org or at the door the night of the show.
I think on our Monday or Tuesday North Shore Today post, we have Dan Bulger. We have the clip of him that you had sent me from Craig Ferguson's show.
Yeah, it's a great clip. That's one of the best. I think that's one of the best TV sets I've seen from really anybody. I just think it's hilariously funny. What do you guys think?
Thought it was funny. Yeah. I mean, not as funny as your joke, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. But anything else, Rick?
No, I'm set, but I encourage people to come in here. The place is fantastic, and I know it's a lot of fun. As you say, Dave, it's just a great thing. And how long does each routine go for? I guess that would be my final question.
It's about, we go for a little more than 90. Generally, I say with a comedy show, you want to go 90 minutes. We do the intermission here, so we go a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
New Year's Eve got completely out of control. We went way too long. But yeah, it's about 90. It's every comic does about 20, 25. Last guy has a little bit of leeway that he can stay on, that'll be Ira. So he'll be, you know, we'll probably have to take him. We'll probably have to shoot a net over him and hit him with a tranquilizer gun.
You know what I'm thinking, Dave? We're here in the restored, refurbished Cabot Theater, and when you go into one of these old theaters with the ornate, the woodworking and the all the artistry in the building, it's just, to me, I think it's worth at least 10 more bucks on the ticket price. So the tickets are – no, seriously. I mean, it's an experience coming in here. The seats are comfortable.
Yep.
The atmosphere is unbelievable. It's classic. So, folks, it's probably like a $12 comedy show, but you're going to be paying $22 for it, right?
How about this? It's more like this. It's more of a $22 comedy show, and you get all the ambiance for free.
All right. That's probably right.
It's a really good show. You're right about this. So it's the, I don't know, customer experience just sounds so corporate. But I guess it's the whole experience of coming in, seeing it at a theater. It's different. Seeing a show at a theater is different than a club. There are advantages to the club, and there are advantages to the theater. And there's certain guys who are great at clubs that wouldn't be great at a theater. And this whole, so it's a little bit different. It's still stand up. It's still incredibly funny. But yeah, this is, come. You'll have fun.
Yeah. So this is really a $35 value. If you go to the website, you get it for just $22.
I think it's a $100 value. I think it's $1,000. If you wanted to buy this show. If you want to have this show come to your house, it would be $1,000. But if you can come to the Cabot for just $22.
Yeah. All right, there he is. Dave Radigan, Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell here on North Shore Today.